Okay, sorry I'm late. Let's go ahead and call our meeting to order. And I guess the minutes will show that Commissioner Hall and Frank Geltner are present and Mr. Weissman is not. And we looked at the minutes electronically, so we will sign off on those as distributed. And you'll give me a pen here in a minute.
Certainly.
And let's go on to the agenda. And Mary Robeson, 4-H.
Great.
Come on up.
Come on up.
So first, we'd love to thank you guys for allowing us in the past years to put our trailers across the road from our animals. And having our trailers over there or our tents allows us to... We'd like to stay closer to the animals just in case of health. If an animal does get sick, it's easier to be closer to them. We also really like being closer because then we don't have to cross the road, and as well as the road will not be shut down this year.
I think it's a great idea to give someone a place to have downtime for everyone to hang out, added security at night with the gates around it. It's all right there.
Okay.
Somewhere other than right by the barn with all
also,
of our friends.
It gives us time to hang out with our fellow 4-H'ers and get to know them better.
With Animal Fair next weekend, we would like to ask to camp inside the fairgrounds, specifically on the grass between in the Harney Building and the flagpole on 3rd Street.
Okay.
To put that in context, previously for when 4-H'ers are camping, we've done it during fair, and they've been in the county parking lot across Harney Street.
Right.
That obviously won't be shut down this coming week when they have their animal fair. And we have both a PVC event this weekend and then horse fair starting that same week. So camping will be a little bit of a hot topic or a little congested. They've never asked previously to camp in the grassy areas adjacent to the soundstage, but in the area where we have GFI boxes for power, there's well-established grass. They could put their trailers there. They won't put their vehicles there. They'll park on the asphalt. And I think it's a pretty good solution for what we need to accomplish this coming week.
Okay.
We also have games that we can set up in the grass that we couldn't previously set up that will allow us to, knowing that there will be no outside activities, knowing because the other fair was recent, this will give us a place to hang out and enjoy the fair.
It also gives somebody, if they want a tent camp, but they are not in the grass.
Okay, so you understand the nature of that request?
I do.
Okay.
Can I ask Mr. Belmont, just from... legal standpoint, do we have any issues with this potentially, liability or anything like that? Nope. Then I'm certainly all in favor of the request, and I appreciate your excellent presentation.
Very good.
Should we have a motion to formalize it? Okay. Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the request on behalf of 4-H to allow camping on the fairgrounds this coming weekend during the 4-H Animal Fair. Is that captured?
I second that motion.
Okay.
Anything else you want to add,
no.
Todd? Okay. All right. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. The motion passes. Thank you very much.
Good job, folks. Thank you.
As always, thank you for your continued support of the 4-H program.
You
great.
Bet.
Okay. And Leon. Hi, Leon.
Hi.
Come on up.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good.
I'm going to stand it. All right. Our request is pretty simple. Let me give you a little background because I know some people aren't familiar with Sea Scouts. Sea Scouts, concisely and accurately described in two words, is the Boy Scout Navy. Its purpose and goal is to give the participants, namely Sea Scouts, youth 14 to 21, opportunities to delve into marine life, boating life, and in our particular case, vocational training. And we're talking deep vocational training. The idea here is if you can fix an engine, you can fix an engine in a boat, you can fix an engine in a car, you can fix an engine on a tractor, you can fix an engine in a plant, you can fix an engine anywhere. Doing it on a boat means you're floating around and doing this, and you're having to fix an engine while being rocked by waves and storm and stuff like that. In addition to that, we talk about things like rigging. Rigging, in another life, I was a theatrical rigger. I walked onto a sailboat like I owned the place because I did. The rigging was absolutely nothing new to me. The information that I gained as a theatrical rigger applied directly to sailboats and powerboats. We have riggers that operate out of the marine supply stores day in and day out to the tune of 68 hours a week, some weeks. Their purpose is to provide the correct materials for each of those boats, in this particular case, to get their job done. This is the kind of training that we're looking at. It is cross-industry. When I say cross-industry, I mean it goes into the maritime industries and can jump right back into construction. Mm-hmm. And when you get tired of that, there's something else for you to do. We want to give these kids, specifically the youth between, and we're co-ed, 14 and 21, the opportunities to learn. Because back in the day when I was a kid, 14 to 21, you could go get a work permit at age 14 and you could go to work. You could handle power tools. I've spent many summers trimming and mowing and chopping down trees and doing all sorts of things that you can't do now because OSHA regulations say you can't do that. However, as a Sea Scout program, we can do that. Now, on top of this, we're going beyond this. The Sea Scouts BSA is a 14 to 21-year-old program. SSS Rampart is a 6 to 4 million. If you're old enough to pick up a power tool, we're going to teach you how to use it. Within reason, the reason being is because I don't think my 2-year-old needs to be running a circular saw, although he wants to try, and he has tried. We already have seen the benefits of this. My youngest is 2 years old, and he can drive a boat. Just because I can drive a boat, he's figured out how he can do it too. The capabilities for him to do that mean that he's going to not only have a great enjoyability on the water and in the outdoors, but it'll give him the opportunities to delve into careers that he wouldn't have had, that I didn't have as a kid, because I wasn't in a program that had these skills available to me. Do I have different skills? You bet. Every adult in our unit has different skills. We have lawyers, we have doctors, we have dentists, we have, you name it, we've got it. And we're building that so that we can support them. In this particular case, what we're asking for is a temporary location so that we can work on boats. We've already begun doing our meetings and holding our classes, but we have boat projects that we need to get into and get the power tools out and get moving on. And we're having a hard time finding shop space without a budget. The Commons is a good place for that. The only thing we're going to leave behind is sawdust. We have cabinets to build. We have an interior of a boat to put together. We have a couple of other things that the facility would allow us to do, but we would hold off on that with the idea that we want a more permanent location. All the boats that we're working on are on trailers and able to be moved. We have a separate storage location across the highway at Elks Lodge while we wait for a place that's more permanent. Given this situation, though, we can't run power cords across the parking lot and do work. And cleaning the parking lot for all the sawdust that we're going to create is going to be kind of difficult. On the other hand, the dirt floor of an arena, not so difficult. We can just leave it there. It actually will help out with the soil that's in place and provide the horses and livestock that go in there a little extra padding. On that note, all I'm asking for is time and space with the idea that we're going to move when we need to.
So you're asking for use of the outdoor arena for this purpose?
No, we're looking for indoor.
Okay, because we don't have the indoor facility is concrete floor, not... Oh, the barn?
The barn.
We're talking about the barn, okay.
We're talking about the barn.
Okay. Well,
maybe you have Jack.
Could we ask Jack and possibly Todd to weigh in on this request, and if they see it as compatible with other uses, and if they are, you know?
So I walked the grounds with Mr. Noble yesterday or the day before, and we identified we have very limited space that's capable of doing this. We identified a couple of locations that would be possible for a short-term project, and I don't think we have space available for anything long-term that wouldn't disrupt other programs that would have to happen in those facilities, with the exception of maybe a 30-foot space in one of the dormers of the horse barn. There isn't much else that's not currently being used or needs to be used on a regular basis. That said, it wouldn't disrupt I don't think anything we're doing for a day long or a couple day long project, if that's what they're asking. I think accommodating something on an ongoing basis with the current facility that we have would be very, very difficult. But I suggested that he chat with you guys and see what was possible there.
Does that sound workable with what you're envisioning, or
it does? Our biggest concern is that when we bring a table saw in these space to work,
sure.
And of course, we can put that into storage, but once we get to a certain point, we're going to have some problems moving it.
Okay.
So what we're looking for is these projects are going to be 2-3 day projects. The problem is that we won't have manpower to do those projects within 2 or 3 days. It will take, you know, 2 or 3 days of work over a couple of weeks.
Mr. Chair, could we hear from Jack on this, if he has any comments, concerns,
Todd's
questions?
Chatting with him back there. Hold on a second.
I have time.
Did you have anything to add, Jack?
My question, it would be, what is the time frame of each project? In order to maintain the flexibility and still be able to rent the facility to use it, these projects have to be wrapped up within a specific time frame. You know what I mean? It's not where we can leave a project for weeks on end, because then that bleeds into the ability for us to rent. But I back you up 100%. We need tradesmen back. There's a huge shortage. But the fairgrounds right now, it changes from week to week as the usage, and anything left for a long period of time, you know, that would be difficult to work with. And when you're talking about rebuilding things too, you got to remember the hazmat issues, because you can't leave, you know, anything we do can leave nothing. You know, sawdust, we can probably work around that.
Melamine in the sawdust,
or cutting, you know, stuff like that, or engine oils.
You'll never see us work
with melamine. Bilge water, stuff like that, then, you know, diversely affects everybody else's usage of the property.
Okay, let me clarify what we're working with. Every single boat we're going to bring in there is going to be drying out the water for a long period of time.
Okay.
Number one, right now, all of the boats that we're working on, with the exception of one, are out of the water on trailers. The one that is in the water is at the Port of Toledo, and it's 28 feet. And that one's going to be hard to move around. I can't do it with my vehicle. I have to find somebody else. I also have to find a trailer, because I don't have one. Number two, we're not going to leave boats sitting in a place while we're working on it. We're also not going to be leaving anything except sawdust. We're never going to use melamine, because melamine is on MDF. I work at ProBuild, Builders First Source. They changed the name recently. I have a very good understanding of what equipment, what materials to be using. We're going to use fiberglass. In some cases, we're going to use welding, which we're going to do elsewhere, and because we aren't going to be able to support welding at that facility. And for the most part, it's going to be wood.
Okay.
The first project we have is a 20-foot boat, a sailboat. It needs, it was when I got it for free years ago, it was rotting on the inside. It's a fiberglass boat. Mm-hmm. It was taken out of the water forcefully, and they did damage to it that they did not understand that they had done, I think.
So, Leon, let's try and As I understand it, you're pretty flexible.
We're really flexible.
Okay.
The coordination is going to be the problem.
So can I suggest maybe, I don't know if we need a vote or just an informal consensus, but I already had some familiarity with Sea Scouts. Your presentation has helped me learn more. I think it's a great program. I would love to see us be able to accommodate you, you know, within the parameters of existing committed uses of the grounds and potential other revenue generating uses that may come along. If it was understood that those had to be first priority and that you would work around those things, that if we just kind of gave a general directive that we're supportive of this and ask you to work with our staff and Todd, and I see Jack's got his hand up again.
If you were to present the project on a case-by-case basis with a full description of what's going to happen and a time frame per project, rather than giving carte blanche,
is that workable?
Yeah, I believe so. Our biggest problem with that is the time frame is not going to be easy to do right now. We're going to be right now. We have to give them the skills, so we're going to have to teach them how to use those those materials and that equipment before we can, you know, say, okay, we're going to have this done in 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it'll take 2 hours. If you presented the board with a recommendation of we need this area for 4 days.
Oh,
at the end of the 4 days, you've cleaned up and you've gone. They can schedule it. They know a lot of time you're in there. They know the materials you're using. You're in and you're out, just like any other scheduled event.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah. I think we can do that.
Yeah. And hopefully, and certainly it can understand things, whether through lack of manpower, taking longer to train or whatever, something might go over. And then if you come back and say, you know, say we've allotted 4 days for you, and you come back and say, no, we need 2 extra days, either we or staff could say, sure, fine, no problem, or they might be able to say, well, no, sorry, the Christmas tree farm is moving in 2 days after you're done, and so you'll have to relocate, that kind of thing. If we can just all try and work together to accommodate you to the greatest extent we can.
But who does he have to have the closest communication with?
Good question.
Probably Todd and Amy.
Yeah, Todd and Amy for scheduling, and then Jack if there was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So do we have the makings of a motion?
Okay. Do you think a formalized motion would be best?
Some direction to staff.
I would move that the Fair Board direct staff to work with the Sea Scouts to accommodate their request for use of the barn for projects, to the greatest extent possible within the parameters of existing committed uses of the property and potential other revenue generating uses. Is that clear?
Yep.
For everybody, hopefully.
And it's going to be on a project by project.
And that, it will be on a project by project basis with Sea Scouts informing staff of the requested use and the estimated time frame and days that the facility would be needed.
Did that work for you?
That works great.
Okay.
All right. Okay, then we'll go ahead and vote on that. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Motion passes. Thank you, okay. Leon.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. We have Master Gardener Demonstration Garden. Who's going to talk about that? Anybody?
Todd.
Kathy is not here, and I can only say that I know they have continued interest in having a demonstration garden as part of the redevelopment. I don't know any more than that.
Okay.
Okay. Was there any time sensitivity on this?
Not that I know of. I just had loose conversations with her through the extension channels that they would like to incorporate that. Heather, have you heard any more?
Did we have anybody sign up for public comment?
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess we're going to skip over that and go ahead to have OSU Extension 4-H update.
And that may have just been a holdover from last month's agenda item. If I remember right, she was on the schedule last month and didn't show.
Okay.
So she may have not even known that it was back on the agenda for this month. But as far as I know, they just were very interested in reconstituting that relationship that they had
Wonderful.
Had in the past with the fairgrounds.
Okay.
And hoping that we can incorporate something for them into the master plan as that comes
mm-hmm.
together.
Okay.
You may have heard we had a big show last week.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite an event, and by all accounts was well attended. And I have some anecdotal information for you. I don't have all of our hard numbers yet, but a few things to report. I received many, many comments regarding the increase in participation and the business traffic of the fair. Many vendors that were just ecstatic at the consistency of the flow that we had through the fairgrounds. And I was overwhelmed as well. Quite often on Friday, we would see sort of some ebbs and flows. Seemed to be very consistent on Friday. Was very, very consistent on Saturday. A little bit of the Sunday morning lull that we anticipate, but very very good. Many of my returning vendors are significantly up year to year, which was good to see. Many compliments from both participants and vendors at the fullness of not only the main exhibit hall but the vendor spaces outside, including the makeup of the vendors with additions like the zip line and the stunt jump, really adding to the experience. A couple of negatives. I did take several phone calls from Nyla. I see that she's here, and I'm sure she wants to address you guys on this topic regarding the helicopter. I also received one other phone call from an Otter Rock resident that was disturbed by the helicopter as well, and I suggested that she write a letter to the fair board and hand deliver it here. I don't know if you received that or not.
We did receive a letter, but the writer indicated they live at Longview Hills.
Okay, I was under the impression they were on a rock area, but it could be the same one.
Okay.
And those were the only phone calls that I received or complaints that I received regarding the helicopter. I also took a phone call during fair about somebody disturbed or concerned about the Newport Zoo animals, feeling like they were those types of animals were not appropriate to have in captivity, meant to be wild animals. I assured her that Newport Zoo is an operating business with all of the licenses required. I also received a voicemail from Emily at Focus stating essentially the same thing. And we have not reconnected. I don't really understand her voicemail, but we need to reconnect and understand what she's saying. But she seems to be saying sort of the same thing, and I'm not fully understanding that. I returned her call to voicemail, and we've been playing phone tag. But I'm curious to hear a little more about that. I did in all of those cases, whether we're talking about the helicopter or the zoo, inform those people that they are operating within the guidelines. I'm certain within the guidelines of the regulations appropriate, whether those are state or federal or municipal regulations, and that their complaints or comments or concerns can be addressed either with this board or with the regulatory bodies that govern those types of activities. My open glass exhibits were slightly down this year. We sort of anticipated that with the move to the earlier fair season. It's awfully hard to can 2018 peaches if peach season hasn't happened yet. We expect that those will bounce back for next year because when in summer of 2018, they can can those peaches and they'll be available for the 2019 fair. They just have to be done within the calendar year. So we will see that bounce back, I'm sure. Our food vendor revenue is slightly down. We also sort of anticipated that with the move of dates. We knew that we lost our largest fair vendor that vended a lot of that very common fair food, curly fries, elephant ears, that sort of thing.
if we hypothetically add that revenue back in, what they had done over the previous years, food revenue is way up, which is exciting. Senior barbecue is up about 25%. We served 395 people, up from about 300 people in years past. So that was good to see. Monster Truck Show, roughly 950 spectators, which is about what we had last year. And exciting to comment or announce that that was all done locally. That was all organized by Newport Pawn Shop and Precision Auto, Jacob Wayman, a local businessman who has taken an interest in the fair. He was the presenting sponsor and did an extraordinary job of for his first endeavor into this type of thing of pulling that together. It also didn't cost us a penny. Where in the past we've paid upwards of $14,000 for a show of that quality, he footed the entire bill, and he took a loss of about $2,900. But his comment to me was that was the best $2,900 in advertising he could have spent. He's very excited to see that go forward, and he's feverishly working on the arena right now to get it back into shape for our PEC event that begins tomorrow. So he's scrambling. We're trying to figure out how to get the mud all dry and get that side of the arena back in shape. It may be that there's still a little soft spot that we need to cordon off, which would make the arena narrower, but I think still usable. We'll evaluate that later today or tomorrow and make sure that it's safe for the PEC folks. Two-thirds or even three-quarters of the arena certainly will be. It's just that mud track they had on the east side that we're worried about. I'll know more about that in the coming day or so. Newport Toyota, a new presenting sponsor as well, told me at the beginning of the show on Friday, before really any business had happened, they said, just the foot traffic alone makes this all worth it. Where if we don't sell a single car, the number of bodies that you guys have pulled in here is wonderful for us. They ended up selling 5 cars during the course of the event. 4 of those on Sunday, which is a day that they normally would not be open on their lot. So Matt, the sales manager, was just ecstatic and said absolutely, we're back in. We like the relationship. And I think they added a lot to the show by just bringing and filling some space that would typically be vacant. So we're excited to have them in our good graces and pleased with the result. I know that the beverage service that the Eagles Club provides is up about 400%. They sold about $1,100 in product last year, nearly $4,000 this year. All that said, it's still a very family-friendly event, and I like that. I don't ever want this to become a rodeo bash where alcoholic beverage consumption rules what we're doing. It's family-friendly, and I don't think anybody we have no issues with alcohol, and OLCC knows that that's our philosophy. So we appreciate that. Garbage. You guys know that I use this as a barometer quite often. In the past, we've overfilled a 20-yard bin. This year, we filled almost to capacity 2 20-yard bins. So we're way up in garbage production as well. My thanks to Shangri-La, who continues to do just an amazing job of collecting that garbage for us, keeping that fairgrounds immaculate. Some of my 4-H youth came afterwards and wanted to do a community service project and could hardly find any garbage to pick up. They worked for an hour and a half and got about 2 bags full is all, and really, really had to work hard to find it. So our continued thanks to Shangri-La. I discovered a new barometer this year that I didn't know anything about. Turns out that Rick at K&K Toilets tracks how much sewage we pump. His unsolicited comment to me was, you guys must have had a great show from what I saw on the toilets. And I said, wow, Rick, what does that mean? He says, well, normally I pump about 200 gallons of sewage. This year was 300 gallons. So we now have another measuring stick, if you will, to measure our successes. My thanks to you guys for giving me the temporary staff in both Heather and Shannon. Heather worked about 30 extra hours in addition to her regular job at Oregon State University, and Shannon put in 74 hours during that 5-day period of setup, fair, and takedown. So about 100 extra hours that you guys authorized that, boy, I could not have done without. So thank you for that. That's really about what I have, other than to just remind that, which we've already done, that the 4-H Animal Fair is coming up this coming week, and they're excited, and I think have a good show put together there. And again, thanks for the continued support for everything that the 4-H program does.
I want to also add for the minutes that I was contacted by Vicki Phillips regarding the helicopters. She lives over in the Big Creek area, so I just want to point that out. She sent me messages, well, every time it went over, she listed the time and a photograph of the helicopter, so I wanted to acknowledge that I got her comments. So any questions of Todd?
Nope. Thanks for the great report.
So regarding the helicopter, what do we make any money on that?
We do. We make between $800 and $1,000. They give us 25% of their revenue. One of the interesting things to note is that we are the only fair that they've continued to stay with. When they started 3 years ago, they did several county fairs and didn't find any of them to be lucrative but ours. We really have a strong ridership or participation in that program. Not that I'm in any way beholden to them any more than any other vendor, but they have provided that service to us. Even the first year when the marine layer was so thick that they could barely get any ridership in, they came back again, and they're as dedicated to us as any of our vendors. I think it's a good service. I am sorry that we get complaints over that period of time. But I think we also get hundreds and hundreds of people that show their appreciation for it out of their continued support, whether they're new riders or people that come back for returning rides. That helicopter does roughly 100 rides. Actually, 100 flights, I think. Over that 3-day period, so it can fit up to 3 people. So that's, you know, in the neighborhood of 300 people each year that get to see that. So, you know, maybe approaching 1,000 people in the community that have had that experience that wouldn't otherwise have been able to.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Do we just for the record, you know, we've always on the agenda put the dates of the next fair. Do we know the dates of?
We do. They will be July 6th, no, 5th, 6th, 7th will be Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I'm contemplating, just like we did with the Eclipse on Monday, including July 4th, so making a 5-day fair next year. The rationale behind that, some of my vendors have other obligations on July 4th, and with the 4th being on the Thursday, it would make it very difficult for them to do their events on the 4th and still come participate with us on the starting on the 5th, when they're maybe not even breaking down until midnight on the 4th. The 4th would traditionally be our setup day, and that'll be difficult with it being the 4th. If we extend to 4 days, have our move-in day be the 3rd, Wednesday the 3rd, then that gives those vendors a little reprieve. They can come to one place and do a 4-day show instead of doing a 1-day show on the 4th and then not having anywhere else to go for that coming weekend. And it also alleviates our burden of trying to move in on the 4th of July. So I'm not rock solid on that request yet, but I think it makes some good sense. I want to reach out to our current vendors and say, does this help or hurt if we do this, and get a little more feedback from them.
So the event that's happening this weekend, how are we accommodating that in 19?
Into what?
The event that's happening this weekend, which has to be later.
Yeah.
Is that going to...
Oh, into 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah, my hope will be that those will all be together next year. Of course, you remember that I reported when the Animal Science Group wanted to do theirs separately. It was due to a couple of reasons. Family vacations that were scheduled, as well as the growing season of the animals. And it's hard to prep an animal with less than a year's notice for a change in fair date. My hope is that we will... And I think general response that I'm getting, and we'll wait and see what happens this coming weekend when the animal fair happens. But I think by and large, people are wanting us all together, not only the public, but I think the 4-H group for the most part as well.
Right.
So my hope will be that for 2019 we'll all be back together. But I'm waiting to see how the event goes this coming week and get sort of the consensus of the... I think we know what the public says. There were several comments about missing the animals and wanting the animals at fair. Although Newport Zoo was a good addition, it wasn't the livestock that people want to see there. And I think after this coming week, we'll see how the 4-H group feels about it. But at least from a number of informal polls that I've done so far, a lot of the 4-H youth and families had wished that we did it during that great fair that we just experienced.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'll have more of
did
that
Did you
next
read
month.
The thing in the paper on Wednesday?
I did.
Okay. Did
well, there
anything
were two,
about
two, by
that?
The way, an opinion piece as well as
right.
an article by Steve Gardner.
Any surprises?
No real surprises. The of course the carnival keeps coming up. And it makes me rethink our strategy, and maybe we've now... But what I tell people on a regular basis is that the carnival we have been able to afford is not one that we want. They're scary carnivals. The carnivals that we want, we haven't been able to afford. But we may be, with the increase of participation that we saw this year, and with our new fair date that has now taken us out of that Oregon Bears Association rotation, it may be that we're back at the point where we can attract a carnival. And I'll continue looking at that. I actually thought I had at least a Ferris wheel and midway set up for this year with our new fair date, and it just couldn't come together in the time that we had. But I'm hopeful that maybe next year we can at least get an atmosphere of carnival, if not a full carnival back. I think that's possible. That was the one takeaway that I saw there. That and the want for 4-H animals at the county fair.
Okay. Anything else?
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
Thank you.
Let's turn to the master plan refinement update.
The update that I want to provide is that we did add another public meeting for the presentation of the proposals on the commons in Newport on July 30th.
Okay.
That was a request that they made by the Master Plan Vision Committee. At least a couple members of the committee there are coming back around during the presentation. I'm doing an update for the Urban Renewal Agency on Monday night the 16th, but the City Council has a huge agenda that entire day from their noon meeting till the evening, because they only have one meeting in July. So we decided that not to make that the date to do this. But the consultants will come down, and that will then be on the 30th. It'll be at City Hall in Newport. It will be a joint meeting between the Urban Renewal Agency, well, a public forum as we provided before, but then also a meeting of the Urban Renewal Agency, and the consultants will be here to do the presentation.
Okay.
That will be at Newport City Hall, right?
July 30th. That's a Monday night.
Time to be determined.
I think that what we decided finally, it's up to the city, but I think we decided 5 o'clock.
Okay. And that's their meeting at City Hall.
At City Hall.
Okay.
But I'll confirm the time.
Okay. Thank you.
And we did have a display of their their stuff.
Their exhibits.
From
their
open houses.
Renderings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, so people enjoyed that, so... Okay, county staff update.
I know, Jack. We'll have some news for us. Speaking of 300 gallons,
yeah,
something else gallons. That might have contributed to that volume.
Yeah, we good news is electrically everything went off without a hitch,
mm-hmm.
So I think we've got the electrical portion of the fairgrounds right now pretty well secured. Everything went with, I don't believe we had any call-outs for that at all. Then Saturday night, Sunday morning, the exhibit hall sewer failed. We attempted Saturday night to fix the situation. Only made it worse by breaking the snake off in the line. So that system is now dead until I can dig it up somewhere and try to reattach it and get the old snake out. And there's a lot of work that needs to be done. I was going to start tomorrow, but I think I might put it off due to some 4-H functions that are going on. But just know that the exhibit hall restrooms are out of order until that work is done. Okay.
Can I ask a question then related to that? And Todd, this is for you too. Are there sufficient porta potties then now for the events that are coming on for this weekend?
So I asked Rick already to have two of them for the Animal Science Fair, $90 fixed, $180 for that weekend. I was just going to absorb those in my 4-H budget, but if you're offering to pay for them, I won't turn it down.
I just want to make sure there was adequate facilities.
They had planned on using the main of the event hall to for their restroom facilities, so it is an additional burden on us just because that restroom is down.
But wouldn't we want to have something there permanently for?
Oh yeah, we're gonna have to.
And Todd is saying he'll do it.
We're gonna have to fix the plumbing, but wouldn't we just have the porta potties there until it's fixed?
I don't know that there's that much use. Here's the short answer to that is it really doesn't cost us anything once we get them there, except like to pump them. So maybe it doesn't. Maybe it makes sense just to have them there until things are fixed.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
We've left them there in the past for months at a time.
Yeah.
So
warming shelter and other functions.
Yep.
It's nothing new.
Okay.
I'm in favor of that, and I'm in favor of us paying the bill instead of it's not 4-H's fault.
No, I'll just pick that up.
Okay. We got it.
Anything else?
Just that I will probably have to do some trenching because what we believe the sewer connection is, we haven't verified. And once we do identify it, we may move it to a more suitable location and have to dig up some lawns and some sidewalks and maybe some walking paths to get that fixed.
And so to the extent possible, we'll try to do this so that it can be potentially be used for something else in the future.
Yeah.
If we could. I doubt it. I mean, it's not going to be able to do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, on the one hand, I don't want to see us do just a spit and chewing gum repair. On the other hand, I hate to see a lot of money.
My goal is to, the fix will be a solid, good fix
for the next
3 to 5 years.
Yeah, because realistically, we're probably stuck with that building for at least 3 more years, possibly longer.
It will be fixed correctly.
Yeah, okay. Good.
And my only thought was that anything that could be discovered that will contribute to our future.
The plumber I'm working with, Newport Plumbing, is going to map everything that he finds.
That's great.
Wonderful.
Cameras down the lines and locates.
Wonderful.
And he's got copies of what we believe the sewer system is, and we will compare what he finds to those copies and verify.
Okay.
There'll be some exploratory.
That's great.
Thanks.
But again, I will have to probably put it off for another week or so. So the 4-H functions are done. That is basically it for me.
Where are we on the John Deere stuff? Is that?
I think Todd's going to be in that conversation.
Yeah, I've given that over to those who know.
So, say that again for me. I was
tractor. Excited. Tractor update, Frank's asking for.
Tractor's still functional for what we're doing.
But, I mean, in terms of the potential purchase of a new one.
Oh, well.
We authorized, but
yeah,
you're still evaluating, aren't you?
Yeah, again, I think until we know more about the master plan and what our needs are going to be, I don't think there's a need to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think you guys approved Roy and I to discuss what's appropriate, but I think until we really know what sort of facilities we're trying to support with that, I think it's just too early to tell at this point. But I think we're getting there. I think as that master plan redefines, we'll have a much better idea of what it's going to take to support it.
Okay.
My worry would be if we bought something now, it may or may not be the right thing.
Okay.
And in the short term, we're getting by with the little tractor.
Okay, good. All right, so we're up to public comment. do. Nyla, you're, are you the only one on the list? Or Linda, too? Okay.
Flights over my house in 3 days. I live above Big Creek too. Mm-hmm. The person that complained to you is having my experience.
Yeah.
I'm standing in my yard looking up at the bottom of a red helicopter. That's how I know what color it is. I went over to the fairgrounds on Sunday thinking, you know, if I was going to come to this fair board meet today, I should inform myself. And I had a brief, number one, I chose not to involved myself with the business, so I never spoke to the pilot because he was busy and that's a dangerous piece of equipment. And then, you know, and I didn't even go up to the registration table where they were taking fires. I just went, excuse me, inside the little opening in the fence and just kind of stood there and watched. And the guy with the ear protection who was taking me over to the helicopter kept engaging with me over and over and over again. And so I asked him if he had a business card, and he said no, and he gave me this. And then I went online, and here's their website. I don't know if this is going to be loud enough to do you
any good. Today,
here's the music, but eventually, if this is a clip right, I saw before, pretty soon you're going to get to listen to this. Now, I know that you guys have heard a helicopter before, but this thing, I have chronic fatigue syndrome. I couldn't even take a nap in my own house for 3 days. I don't know if this is the same clip. It's not what I had intended to do.
Well, you just wanted us to hear the noise of the helicopter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there was a clip on here. There was a clip on here that was just pop, 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 you know, the helicopter. It's unnerving. It feels like you're living in a battle zone to have this going on. Now, I have lived in my home since 1985. And this is the third year now this, I guess, is going on. I have called last year and complained. I'm in the flight path of this thing. And the one piece of information that I got from the guy who was, I described before, was that they don't have to file a flight plan. And I was saying, why don't you just go up the bayfront, which is an industrial area. There's boats, there's trucks, there's forklifts. Every manner of industrial commercial activity is going on up and down that bayfront. And I can't imagine anybody having a problem who didn't move there already and expect it being a noisy place, having a problem with a helicopter going out through a pretty interesting and scenic part of town and over the bridge, which evidently they said, yeah, we do fly over the bridge. So that doesn't seem to be a problem either. And they could fly south along the beach and have a beautiful ocean view, but for some reason, they need to keep looping over Big Creek. And it is just horrendous to put up with this. And the response I got was, I'm doing the best I can and there's nothing I can do and we're legal. Well, we have a noise ordinance in Newport. And I don't think it says anything about recreational helicopter use being an accepted exception to the noise ordinance. And that thing is way louder than the decibel levels and the permitted uses in the noise ordinance. I mean, I don't know what kind of action I'd have to bring, but I can't stand this.
Yeah.
I can't take it. And somebody needs to direct these people to go someplace else and stay away from my house. And now you've gotten another person who said the same thing. I would like to read you a paragraph of the Oregon State Fire Bulletin from last December. I lost my page now. It was an article about noise. In a European study, researchers discovered that a person's chance of developing hypertension rose by 14% after a 10 decibel increase in nighttime noise. German research on airport noise established that exposure to 40 decibels of background noise came with an increased risk of heart disease, kidney failure, and dementia. And then they talk about whales in the ocean and stuff. But I mean, and there's a footnote, so you can look at the research data if you want to see it. I mean, we have a more larger than average population of retired people here. This is not a healthy choice for our community for $800 to $1,000 for the whole, you know, it's obscene, really, in my opinion. For my experience, that it's an obscene thing to have happen to me. Now you're talking about doing it for 4 days. I mean, I can hardly bear, it makes me crazy. By the third day, I can hardly stand it. The first day, I'm enraged. The second day, I'm just, you know, and by the third day, I'm just over the top. I really hope that you will take into account the citizens of Newport and our right to a peaceful living environment. I mean, I live in a really, really quiet place. It's a block off of 101, but for the most part, it's pretty darn quiet. The other thing I would say to you is that the Big Creek Gorge there is one hell of an echo chamber, and you start flying a helicopter over it over and over and over again. It's just like a megaphone.
Thank you very much. Well, yeah, I had the same problem about the route schedule. It's just, I couldn't understand why we can't alternate it, you know, so a neighborhood gets hit maybe once an hour instead of every 10 minutes. So,
well, I just don't want them over my neighborhood at all. I mean, they could go up the bayfront. There are other parts of town that are commercially zoned, yeah, where, you know, we have traffic and commercial activity. There's no reason to be disturbing quiet neighborhoods like this.
Well, I'm sure we're not done with this topic. Thank you for emphasizing it. Appreciate it.
Mr. Gelder, if I could, just a couple of observations. I do know what the sound is like because my house is two blocks west of the fairgrounds and the helicopter passes directly over on its outward bound area. You know, personally, I don't find the noise that much of a disturbance or distraction, but I know everybody has a different tolerance of noise. I do appreciate you bringing this to us. I do appreciate the letter we've received. I know we've received, I think, two or three other contacts or complaints through the years, and I think we do need to take those into account as much as we can. I think we also, you know, the revenue, the additional revenue is of $800 to $1,000 a year. That's really negligible, but I've personally had dozens of people contact me. I took the flight once myself last year, and I assume they're going north because they do want to go over the lighthouse in Yaquina Head, which is a pretty spectacular sight. I know I've had dozens of people saying, you know, it's a wonderful, thrilling experience, and they're glad they had it. So
they don't need to fly over my house to do that because the Coast Guard patrols up and down the beach all the time, and that's far enough away. I mean, I can hear them, but it's not an earth-shattering event when mm-hmm. they go by.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's the echo from going up and down Big Creek is an entirely different thing than rolling along the beach and out to Yaquina Head. I mean, there's no comparison.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Todd, we'll bring this back. I think time is of an essence today, and it's going to take, you know, we need to digest mm-hmm. this. So, but let's have Linda come up.
Okay.
Well, we get the Hueys above us.
Yeah.
I live in Agate Beach, so those are pretty loud. We get all that helicopter.
Is that National Guard or?
They come in groups of three.
Mm-hmm.
And they're big. And if you live anywhere along the Newport oceanfront, you hear them. I mean, it's like, just like you said, it's like a war zone.
Mm-hmm. What are Hueys?
The big helicopter.
Oh. And who's flying them?
Probably the Guard.
That's what I was assuming, but I just was curious.
Well,
yeah.
The Coast Guard comes up and down.
Sure.
You know, all the time. But that's one of the noises you get used to when you live there, and I'm not in an echo chamber
mm-hmm.
type thing that she would be,
mm-hmm.
because it is part of what you do. If people who are like stay at Discovery Tours at the B&B there,
mm-hmm.
they have earplugs.
Ah. Interesting.
People who stay on any place on the bayfront, you have earplugs at your B&B because the foghorn will keep you awake.
Otherwise.
The sea lions will keep you awake.
Yeah.
You know, those are sounds that we find comforting, but other people don't find them
comforting. I lived in a bayfront apartment for 11 years, and I would say the first year or so I found the sea lions to be a real kind of noise nuisance, but then as you become a
and living next to the railroad track and the subway, those are the things that we're used to.
Yeah.
Well, the issue for me with the helicopters is just the repetitiveness.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
I looked to see if they were changing whether they were lifting off to the south or to the north. But when Nyla said there was no registered flight path, I thought, is that true?
I don't know the particulars of it. What I do know is that they need to use the prevailing wind.
So
when they came here on Thursday and Friday, the prevailing wind was a southerly, and they were actually lifting off towards the north and then circling back around to the south to gain altitude. The wind shifted on Saturday, by Friday night and Saturday, and at that point then they're lifting off to the south and circling back around the other direction. So it has a lot to do with the wind direction, the direction that they can land and take off. And I don't think that they're beholden to any particular flight path. I think what the law says is that they're required to stay above 300 feet except when landing or taking off. And I think that's a very small summation, but I don't think they have to file a flight plan like a commercial jet would have to.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well,
good to know.
To be continued.
Yes.
All right, Linda.
That's not what I want to talk about. I really was impressed by the 4-H'ers again, as I was at the meeting we had at the Extension office, and thinking about the unincorporated areas from which the room tax is coming to support the county commons. I would suppose that a number of the 4-H'ers do live in those unincorporated areas. And it may be the same as with the Sea Scouts. And Frank, what you have impressed with us forever is make this a kid-friendly place. And there were three groups here today that are the youth of today and the adults, and they're our future. And three, they're related, but they're not. You know, it's 4-H, it's Sea Scouts, and also reading the minutes from your last meeting, the Boy Scouts wanted their day camp there.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that the Commons would be perfect for.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly. Couldn't you just see Boy Scouts with their tents out on the grass?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the kind of stuff that we can do. One of my friends has little ones. The oldest is 5. There was a new park that opened in Lincoln City at the Factory Outlet Mall. They drove to Lincoln City to check that park out.
Mm-hmm.
Coast Park doesn't work for little kids. Their kids can't handle that. If we made the Commons, the County Commons Park, in addition to the things that we already want, which would be the arena and the exhibit hall and the barn, because that brings in the posse, you're doing a lot that's going to go countywide. It isn't just Newport-centric. It is not.
Right.
And really start pushing that and make it have the community, the county community, come up with a plan for a park there. I've driven by a lot of times. You look at the map and you don't get the idea of the magnitude of the size. You really don't. You can't see how much space a swing set might take. But when you drive by it, there's a huge area where you could have wonderful equipment. What Annie was telling me is they have a big whale up there at Lincoln City, but they have more equipment that's for little kids. And you want, little kids need a place to go. It needs to be a safe place to go.
I experienced that during the fair with my 5-year-old.
Yeah, and there's no place to go for those little guys.
Yeah.
There just isn't. And if you have a nice playground and you have restrooms with baby changing spaces, the kinds of things that you need for a community. Let's say that somebody was doing a family reunion. Perfect place to take your family reunion.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to service that group. You've got to have the bathroom facilities that are clean, accessible, safe. And that services our entire community. I look at it, I'm in Pine Park. Now, when I was in high school, Moonshine Park was not what it is today. In fact, there were areas up there where you had to sneak through private property to get to the Siletz River. And now it's not that way. But the county has taken that over, and it's a wonderful facility.
Mm-hmm.
We could make this the same kind of a thing.
Excellent.
Right in the middle of a city where people from all over the community and our visitors have a place to go with their families. So our emphasis, instead of being a subtopic of what we've been talking about, if we can bring that to the forefront and emphasizing what has come to the table today and other times with our youth. And two, with the support that Todd shared today about the sponsorship of the event. You know, Newport Toyota, the pawn shop. That's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the clam bake. I know you all probably attended the clam bake, which I helped work on for many, many mm-hmm. years, and then stopped because you can't do it as one person. We had all of our food vendors were nonprofits. Those nonprofits could move right to the county grounds for county fair, and we could have our coast-specific foods there. You could have the fisherman's wife there doing their booth. You could have the firefighters replicating what they do at Seafood Line. Young Life was the one that made gobs of money at the clam bake. Gobs of money at the clam bake. And they're all outside vendor type things. But you can get your nonprofits to fix the food that's going to bring other people in to test. To compare this to Seafood Wine, if you go to Seafood Wine Festival, you get wine and maybe this much, like a thumb's worth of seafood. They don't emphasize seafood. And if it is, it's broiled shrimp melt. That's
right.
What you get. You get clam chowder from the Optimus, which is Moe's chowder. You get the gumbo from the firefighters, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
If we can bring our same nonprofit people to the county grounds for the county fair to then bring more people in for the food and for the experience, and to have the animals back would be totally important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, if you start looking at everything that's been happening in the last 6 months
mm-hmm.
for this whole process, there are so many things that are good coming out of the irritation
mm-hmm.
and the frustration and the exposure and the this, that, and whatever kind of thing. It hasn't been totally bad. It's a kick in the butt, excuse me, once in a while. But that's kind of what you need. People are finally interested.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I didn't get this 5 years ago when you called me. Because I think that we actually did a telephone survey.
Yes, you did as
with
part
the
of the...
Uh-huh.
In addition to the public meetings. Yeah.
Of people in Lincoln County mm-hmm. before we even got going on the Blue Ribbon Fair mm-hmm. Committee.
Right, yeah.
So a lot of those things were done, but people still didn't get interested. And as far as doing something to undo what has been done with the tax base or with the room tax, it's no different than my saying, well, now I'm sorry I voted for the hospital thing. I want to unvote that one. You know, that kind of stuff probably isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I didn't realize it would cost me that much. Let's vote on that one again. And I don't want to do that now because Toledo gets to come in and they're not paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the way life is. It just goes that way. And when he talked about Shangri-La, you know, this is something Shangri-La can do and let other people know they can do this. There's so many things, because that was the biggest thing at the clam bake was the trash. You know, Kathy Cleary, you all know Kathy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, she would, in her lovely finery, always dressed to the nines, she and I were out there with the recycle bins, because nobody knows what it is to recycle, dumped in the parking lot, and we're picking through the trash.
Mm-hmm.
Because with Thompson's donating that service to us, I could not, in good faith, send my recycle with trash. And Kathy says, I'll help you, Linda. And we get down there and go through all of the recycle. There's so many things that I would like to share with Todd of the vendors we brought in. We had the river, our wagon, our horse-drawn wagon.
Mm-hmm.
People wouldn't even mind going through the neighborhood in that horse-drawn wagon. I think that Moore Road is too steep for it.
Mm.
It's
yeah.
too long of a grade. But it could do just the neighborhood areas, and there might be people willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I have
Sounds
all the
fun.
Information. But there's so
I think
much.
Kids that, would love that, especially.
Well, and
but
looking at this 4th of July time mm-hmm. frame, at first I wondered, but see, our clam bake was always the first weekend of July, the first weekend that they did fair. And it was a great weekend. And if you can incorporate 4th of July So you have an event for families to go to before they go to the fireworks. They might come up and eat. They might even sit there and watch the fireworks. I don't think they can see them very well from there. But you can get them moved out of the way. Mm-hmm. So an awful lot that can be done to bring that event countywide and all the other kinds of things. Let's see if there's anything else on here I had written down. I had some other things. But the Master Gardeners was another thing that came into you know this whole review. It's just, it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Could I mention something that your ideas, and I love all this, helped stimulate with me, a conversation Todd and I had a couple of months ago, but it just didn't come together for this fair. Again, maybe playing off the fact that 4th of July weekend, the old-fashioned rah-rah patriotism and celebrating local history, maybe partnering with our historical societies to get some kind of local history exhibits there. Lincoln County Historical Society has some period costumes, and Wayne, I talked to you but didn't get to follow up the idea that maybe if Performing Arts Center might be willing to loan out some costumes, kind of have people, you know, maybe walking the grounds in period costumes one day or part of one day, maybe even if they're game to, you know, tell tales of Lincoln County pioneer history, you know, again, celebrating the local heritage and making that a stronger part of the fair, you know, talking about when I think I remember reading in one local history book, for instance, Lincoln County was once home to 200 dairies because without modern refrigeration and transport, you really had to have your neighborhood dairy or some of the
4-H kids could do some history,
some
exploration, and they could create or they could have their own booth.
Yeah, or there's
the history of dairy farming in Lincoln County, the history of whatever sheep.
Yeah, or some of the reading I've done, the folks.
We have our great blueberry farm.
You know,
we have all kinds of things.
It'd be lovely, I think, if we could get the Sletz tribe here to acknowledge the many, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of years of, thousands of years of native
community here at home, too.
Yeah.
That's another reason not to leave.
Exactly. You know, the Native American presence up until the 1870s when this area was open to white settlement, and then some of the journals I've read, I think just fascinating. The families that came here, you know, even though, imagine life in 1875 in a big city like Portland, you know, paved streets, gas lamps, horse-drawn wagons, but coming to Lincoln County were people who were truly rugged, hardy folks willing to, you know, endure a very primitive life compared to what city life was like because they had a chance for self-sufficiency and to build something. And, you know, I just think it'd be neat if we could tell that
story. From the History Center's gift store to the fair, because every time I go in there, I buy two or three books.
Yep.
And those are the books that I leave for my customers in my bead store.
Mm-hmm.
And our people come in and sit and plop down. Yesterday, I was digging out the books on the building of the highway, one that I bought from the author at the Yahats event down there 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much that we have in this community that we can really, really focus on. And it may, you know, they were talking 3 major events a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's one major event. Possibly at another time, another major event could be created based on some of the same groups of people.
Yeah.
It's just really hard to say.
Well, I know the Chambers announced they're going to start up another fest. I think they're calling the Cider Fest or something.
Oh, interesting.
For hard cider?
Hard cider.
But regarding the kids, you know, between the 4-H, like this afternoon, we got 21 kids on stage at the Performing Arts Center for Shakespeare Camp.
Oh, cool.
And the theater camps, between the several theater camps and the Shakespeare Camp, those kids loved to get on stage. So we could work a partnership up. But
the timing, I think, is really good.
Yeah.
You know, initially, I was wondering, but the more I sat here today and started just thinking of all these other things, and just it's what you were thinking just now. There's so many things we can pull together. Now, this is the beginning of the summer where people are just chomping at the bit for something fun to do.
Yeah.
What a great thing for kids to look forward to.
Yep.
And it's not that far from when school was out. So they still have their whole summer ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, beyond that, you know, my vision has always been the fairgrounds looks pretty dead most of the time.
Right.
Is with this focus on youth, the place can be alive all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know Wayne and I have talked about, and there's an issue now about whether you can legally not have a fence around the fairgrounds, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in my reading of the statutes, it talks about the fair per se, as opposed to the other 360 days of the year. And so my point being that I know I favor a more open feeling so that when people arrive, they can enter anywhere they want instead of having to walk, you know, 280 degrees around to 3rd Street. And especially the way the master plan is laid out now with the open space all the way out there at the northeast corner. So I think we've got some vibrations going here.
Yeah.
I think so,
yeah.
Too.
Well, it's 11:15, and I have an 11:30, so I'm going to ask if we could... Nyla?
I'd like to add about three things I'd like to comment on.
Yeah.
I think that the 4-H animals are the heart of the fair.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see those things back together again.
Yep.
I think that attracting local artisan... cheesemakers,
mm-hmm.
I can't think of, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
All of the local folks who are doing amazing things, like folks you would see at the Saturday market,
mm-hmm.
I think it'd be really good to have more of that kind of mm-hmm. participation in the fair.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, do you charge money for booths for groups to come and have a table?
At the fair, or
it's a sliding scale. We have both in county for profit rates, out of county for profit rates, and then non-profit rates as well.
But you would charge some kind of a fee.
So mm-hmm. something for everybody, yeah.
Because I was thinking about what you were saying about the patriotic.
Mm-hmm.
We have a DAR chapter. Here.
Oh, did not know that. Yeah.
And it seems like genealogy is really popular.
Oh yes.
Right now,
mm-hmm.
and so maybe that little piece that you might want to consider adding, but I wouldn't be asking them for money.
Right.
And we do have the power to waive fees on a case-by-case basis.
One of the main premise, though, of mm-hmm. a county grounds
mm-hmm.
is to create a venue where you can bring in income.
Yeah.
And the more income you get, the less you have to charge people.
Right. So we've got to have that discussion, especially as development of the new facilities has come forward. I think others have expressed, and I, you know, too, that, you know, that we've done this, ended up having to do this too much on an ad hoc basis, but have a structure that reflects exactly what Todd said. Highest rate for out-of-county non-profit-making folks, lesser rate for local. You know, and then even for, you know, I know like Chandler Davis in the local drumming group, he said we'd love to have a free venue for them on an ongoing basis. And I don't know if we could make it absolutely free, but just some kind of a token payment to reflect that there are utility and security type costs.
$50 for the entire fair, and it's really just to ensure that they will indeed show up. We find that if it's free, then there's no consequence to saying, oh, the wind's blowing today or it's raining mm-hmm. today. I think we just won't show up.
Yeah, but it'd be like, you know,
refund half of their amount.
Yeah,
you know, at the end of fair.
Yeah, it'd be
that's
an interesting
thought. The country fair,
mm-hmm.
which I realize is an extremely different
mm-hmm.
event, has a free drumming circle. So once you're allowed entrance, you bring your drum and you get to play. And I don't know if you want to have that kind of a influence mm-hmm. or activity.
Right.
But that's more like what Chandler's doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what Chandler was talking about, like on an ongoing basis, maybe.
We actually paid 13 members of the drum circle to play this year.
Oh, okay. During the fair.
Okay.
But to have a place like, say, every nice Saturday in the summer where people could gather and drum.
There is one in Night Beach.
Right.
Over there at Mundo also.
Right.
Well, we need to bring this to a close.
Okay,
so, thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everybody, for the great ideas.
We are adjourned. Yep.